Connecticut Department of Social Services, case number 24833. Is Mr. LeBron on Zoom? Hi, Mr. LeBron. Hold on one second. Thank you for your patience, Mr. LeBron. You have three minutes, but you've also, I believe, reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal, so please proceed. And if you can't hear us at any point, let us know.
I can hear you, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Your Honor, Abbott. Your Honor, the reason I'm here today is to fight my case regarding this discrimination case against the Department of Social Services. I've submitted multiple documents that are true in what I'm going to speak to right now. Like I said, in my documents, the manager that was hired lied on her application and was still promoted. The hiring manager lied multiple times during her thing, saying that this individual spent 50% of her time on this thing they call value-based payments, where I say 50%, and to this day they have not launched and no value-based programs. So I'm not sure what this person is doing with value-based programs. The other individual, Mr. Gilbert, he was a CFO of the agency. He created the questions for the hiring of this for this position. It was a panel decision when questioned. I sent an email to HR asking if that was true, and they said that was a false statement, that the hiring manager is the one that does the questions, not Mr. Gilbert, not the panel. Mr. Gilbert also mentioned he mentioned physician payments that physicians were paid more than hospitals, which he knows for him being a CFO that's another lie with regards to, because the state of Connecticut physician rates are right currently right now about 60-70% of the physician payments are based on 57% of the 2007 Medicare rates. And I have affidavits from a manager that was there that validated my thing about the questions created by the panel, when he said no, they're created by the manager. I submitted documents regarding audits, two audit findings that were found against the agency regarding this individual being promoted illegally twice, not once, twice. Ms. McAvoy, which was the defendant, she resigned due to this, and that, the only reason I say this is because
Mr. LeBron, you're breaking up, so we're having a little
accounting. I'm an accounting major working for. Okay, sorry. Maybe I speak a little slower. It might, it's whatever.
You're frozen. You know what we'll do is we'll hear from Ms. Wainwright.
Am I called?
And then you have a couple minutes for rebuttal. Okay, is that fair?
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you. May it please the court, I am Stephanie Wainwright, Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the defendant appellee, State of Connecticut, Department of Social Services. The court should affirm the district court's granting of summary judgment for the defendant on plaintiff's claims of discrimination on the basis of race and gender under Title VII. The district court properly granted summary judgment because plaintiff failed to present evidence as to pretext. The undisputed evidence was that Ms. Godburn, a white female, possessed superior qualifications, in specific, the value-based payment experience. That experience was an agency priority that had been designated before the job posting was presented, and was in line with federal guidance as well. It is undisputed that Ms. Godburn had that experience, but plaintiff did not have that experience. That was the department's legitimate non-discriminatory reason for its hiring decision, and plaintiff failed to present evidence as to pretext. Plaintiff points in general to an error on Ms. Godburn's application. He claims that Ms. Godburn essentially lied on her application, and that should have been disqualifying. In the first instance, there's no evidence that any of the decision makers knew at the time of the hiring a decision about the error on the application. And ultimately, the error was harmless because Ms. Godburn possessed both the minimum qualifications and the preferred qualifications, which was the value-based payment experience. And there was no evidence that the error was intentional in any way, and there was no evidence.
What did the error relate to?
I'm sorry?
What did the error relate to?
The error was that Ms. Godburn, instead of separating out her experience at the Department of Social Services, she combined all of her experience. And so instead of, for one position, she was the fiscal administrative supervisor, I believe, for about 18 months, and a different position for about 5 years, and she combined all of that experience into one.
But it didn't negate the fact that she had this value-based payment experience.
That's correct, and it did not affect her eligibility for the position at all. In terms of the audit, the district court properly concluded that the plaintiff abandoned that claim, and plaintiff doesn't take that up in his appeal. Even if the court were to conclude that plaintiff didn't abandon the claims with respect to the audit, it's still not evidence of pretext in this case. In the first audit had to do with a separate hiring decision that predated this hiring decision. And it was actually plaintiff who sat on the panel for that hiring decision, and he selected Ms. Godburn and another candidate. There was no evidence that the audit report found anything discriminatory about that hiring decision. The second audit had to do with a finding that the agency didn't appropriately vet all of the candidates. And that vetting applied, it was undisputed that vetting, whatever the vetting process was, applied equally to plaintiff and to Ms. Godburn and to other hires within the department. And once again, there's no evidence of any discriminatory hiring practice that was found. In terms of the claims about lying, there was no evidence presented as to lying. The department presented evidence that Ms. Godburn did actually have the experience with value-based payment initiatives, that was something that she was doing as the fiscal administrative manager too, and plaintiff did not present any evidence otherwise. In terms of discrepancies about who created the interview questions and who made the ultimate hiring decision, just because other people's experience on different hiring decisions was different from this particular experience doesn't mean that there was a discrepancy, and certainly doesn't mean that the discrepancy was discriminatory in any way. So in this hiring decision, there were three panelists, and they asked all of the interviewees the same questions, and the evidence was that they collaboratively made the questions and they collaboratively arrived at a hiring decision. So once again, the same standards for this particular hiring decision were applying to the plaintiff and to the selected candidate, Ms. Godburn.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. LeBron?
So in regards to Ms. Godburn lying on her application, there is a statement that Ms. Godburn acknowledges on the back of the application, the application that literally says, if it's found to be that the person misrepresented her work history and that she can be terminated, suspended, and or terminated, which none of happened to her. With regards to the audits were, as they're independent audits submitted by whatever, Ms. McAvoy no longer works for the agency due to promoting this individual twice. And like I've said in my testimony before, myself, I when I was promoted to principal counsel, and by the way, she wasn't a fiscal administrative supervisor. She was a fiscal administrative officer, not a supervisor, before she became the manager. In regards to that, she actually put statements out there that she hiding something from the government, and they didn't do anything with that as well. So for them to say that the audit had nothing to do with it, it had to. If Ms. Godbert had not lied on its application, she would have never got to the interview and whatever. That in itself, it should say that this person should have been disqualified before she got to it. Ms. Godbert has, and I will say it anyway, because I've been, oh, and regard that, the value-based court payments before my time is up. If Ms. Godbert was so integral in the value-based payments, she didn't even know if the value-based program proposal that Ms. McAvoy said was, she was involved in, she doesn't even know if it got paid in or outside the system. I have an email addressing that, but nobody ever looked at that, saying that if she was so involved in this program, why did she know how all the payments were?
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. LeBron. So we'll reserve the decision, which just means that we're going to deliberate after this argument calendar is completed, and you'll have a written decision explaining our decision. Is that fair?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. And thank you, Ms. Wainwright. That concludes.